Amen. Sister Amber, you had your hand up quite a few times in, for the Bose class. Care to share your comment?
What?
Care to share your comment?
Wish I could remember what it was. I think I was going to say that when it comes to like witnessing to people and when people ask about like where, like, where do you go to church? Like, what religion are you? And I just tell them, like, I'll tell the name of our church, but I say that we just go off of the Bible. We don't go off of people's opinions. Like, we don't teach just what our pastor says. We don't teach, you know, like, we just read the Bible. Like, that's what we base it off of. And a lot of people get surprised with that. And so, you know, it shows that we need to be teaching from the Bible, not just our own opinions. So that's what I was... somewhere in the conversation that could be that way, so that's awesome.
Thank you. I often hear people say, I hate religion. And I think that's going to back me off. And I go, I do too. And that takes them a little bit off base. You hate religion, but you just told me about coming to church and knowing Jesus. How can you hate religion? Because it's not based upon the Word of God. Every religion other than the true and undefiled religion is based upon the opinions of man. And you can find a religion that will endorse any sort of vile behavior that one would want to participate in and give the label of sanctioned by God. But the only way to know the truth is to seek the truth, and that is to find the truth, and that is to right the divide. I think we've pretty well established that the Word of God is not a label for the Bible. It is a description of what the Bible is. It is, in fact, the Word of God. It wasn't superintended that Paul was kept from making a mistake. We seen last night that Joab actually put the words, his words, in Tekoa's mouth, and she was speaking from her point of view. My sons. Where did those words, my sons, come from? Joab. This is not, you know, and people wrestle with this. Well, why would God use Peter? Why would God allowed Paul to say, I speak by permission, because that's what God put in his mouth to say. My goodness. You can't read a Shakespearean play. You can't watch a movie, a TV show, without some writer putting those words in the actor's mouths, and we're okay with it. And nobody's saying, well, Tom Hanks went off script there. That rarely happens. It's a big deal when it does. On the flip side of this, why is this such an issue when we know how things were created? Genesis chapter 1 tells us how were things created? God said, let there be. God said. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. Or Hebrews chapter 11, rather. Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse number 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by, wait for it, the Word of God. Before there was a Peter, or a Paul, or an Isaiah, or a Moses, the worlds were framed by the Word of God. And now we're to be led to believe that he had to use Paul, and he was limited by Paul's abilities, so he just used what he had. No, he used Paul because Paul was the appropriate instrument to use to put his words in his mouth. He used David the same way. Isaiah, we've seen it repeatedly over and over and over. We understand that through faith, the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Wow. That's a huge statement. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 5. You know, the wonderful thing about the Word of God is when you begin to rightly divide and you begin to drill down on a subject, it begins to explode. It just begins to explode all over the Bible. All of a sudden, you're finding this mentioned here and it's mentioned there, and it's verses you know very well, but all of a sudden it's taking on a richer and deeper meaning. Look at verse number 5 here. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. They're willingly ignorant of what? That's by the word of God the heavens were of old. By the word of God. By the word of God. By the word of God. Look at Psalms 33. Look at verse number 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Isn't that amazing? All the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Now look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. And verse number 16. For all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Shallow studiers in religion have messed verse 16 up, because they grab that word inspiration and they say, aha, there it is. You see, God inspired Paul to write. God inspired Peter to write. Dig a little deeper. You know what that word inspiration means? God breathed. God breathed. The same way he created all the host by his breath, the word of God, the word of God, he describes it by telling you what it is. It's his word. Now, I've hammered this repeatedly because I'm an old attorney. I grew up under literal dictation. I had secretaries that I would dictate letters to. Some were good, some were bad, some were persnickety. Some would not put punctuation in if I didn't put it in. I had to learn, however, comma, in accord with the 3rd of July, comma, start a new paragraph. I had others that freelanced and added to and was inspired by and helped me greatly, and it drove me nuts every single day. The point where he ended up firing one And one of my last comments to her was, because she could understand what she was doing was wrong, because I was just improving what you had said. I turned around and pointed at the front door, and I said, when your name is on that door, you can do it your way. But when it's going under my name, then it's my words. This is the word of God, not the word of Paul. And we've seen how Jeremiah did it, David did it. The scripture says the Holy Spirit spake by Isaiah. Over and over and over, we've seen that the word of God, God breathed it. Here it says, all scripture is given by the breath of God. But because we have to have man having something to do with it, we squeeze him in there. You squeeze man into it, you lessen your faith, you weaken your faith, you weaken your knowledge, you weaken your understanding, and you're now building your house on sand. We've seen that from Matthew. Yes.
Well, it goes back to where the Bose class, where we're taking our knowledge of the word inspiration,
mm-hmm.
and we're incorporating that into the word of God instead of letting the word of God tell us what the word inspiration means here. I mean, you don't even have to look up the Greek word to know what inspiration means here. The Bible tells us in all these other scriptures that you've been sharing.
Yeah.
That's our problem, is that we try to put, as Brother Bo was talking in his class, what we think, our knowledge that we've gained carnally, and we try to apply that spiritually to the word. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is clear that two don't go together.
Exactly right. Exactly right. So much so that Jesus becomes synonymous with the Word, and the Word becomes synonymous with Jesus. Look at John chapter 1. Start in verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same as in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. What's the context? What's the subject? Who's Him?
The Word.
The Word. All things were made by the Word. Is that consistent with what the Scripture bears out?
Yes.
Absolutely. We just looked at a few verses already. By His breath. By the Word of God. All things were made by the Word. And without the Word was not anything made that was made. In the Word was life. How many times have we seen that the Word of God has been described as His Spirit? It is life. And the life of men, and the life was the light of men. And the shine, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world. Have we changed subjects yet?
Nope.
Who's He?
Word.
The Word. The Word was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Remember Matthew chapter 16? He's with His disciples. And He says, who do men say that I am? Well, some say John, some say Jeremiah, some say one of the prophets. Who do you say I am? They knew who He was, Jesus. But he was asking a deeper question. Who am I? Do you really know who I am? He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, have we changed the topic yet, the subject? As many as received the word, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We have verse 14 so ingrained in us that we read verses 1 to 14, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Is that inaccurate? No. Because Jesus is the Word. But we need to understand that he is synonymous and identified as the Word. In fact, look at Brother Nate and then Brother Daniel.
Which, you know, a side note here, emphasize, or it's emphatic, Jesus is God.
Yeah.
You just can't get around that unless you change the Bible.
And there are groups that call themselves Christian that deny that he is God. He is a creation of God. He is a brother of Lucifer. And we're Christian. No, you don't know the first thing about it. He's God.
Well, that's, I mean, just in a microcosm of rightly divided, the Word is God, the Word created, the Word became flesh, the only begotten of the Father, the Son of God. And Colossians says he created this Son of God, this Jesus created. I mean, in 10 minutes, you see Jesus is God.
Yeah.
And for whole religions and millions of people to deny that is boggling to me, except that they changed the Word of God.
Yeah.
Because the Word of God exclaims and confesses and professes and declares and all those terms who God is.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Brother Daniel.
Yeah, going off of both of those comments, but Sister Rhonda, but my carnal mind cannot wrap around and figure out how Word can actually be a person. So clearly it's not. And obviously words can't be light and life. So Bible must be wrong. My carnal mind must be right. So therefore, we have to figure it out. And there you got religion.
Right. Yes.
There you have
imagination.
Yes.
Because you got to go, what does it say?
Yeah.
Even though I don't comprehend, maybe, it's there. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Because it has to be by faith. It
has to be.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well,
Brother Nate.
So, I'm not denying the words that the scripture uses, but sometimes it doesn't matter what I believe.
Exactly.
What matters is what the Bible says. In that passage over there in Hebrews, it says, by faith we understand. By trusting God's word, we realize the facts. Even though it's hard for me to believe that. And that's where we get that humanism gets caught up in. I need to add something to this from my own intellect, my own experiences, prejudices, whatever. The Bible calls it imaginations in 2 Corinthians 10. You really got to give up yourself to submit to this word, because it doesn't make human sense a lot of times.
Wonderfully said. One of the principles of rightly dividing that we don't spend much time on, but is axiomatic to being able to rightly divide, and that is, when you begin to study the Word of God, you've got to go into it with one goal, and that is to find the truth, mm-hmm. wherever that leads you. We often go into, I will prove X, that Jesus fell under the cross, that baptism saves you. You can take any topic you want and drive in to prove it, and you will wrestle Scripture to prove that. And then you will begin to crow that indeed the Bible teaches this, or the Bible doesn't teach this. Michael.
And some people don't even believe that Jesus is the Lord. Because just on Thursday, me, Brother Daniel, and my dad had to explain to my sister that Jesus was the Lord.
Yeah. It takes a mindfulness, and this idea of just searching for truth, we all have natural biases. And we know what we'd like to have the Bible say. And probably next time we'll get to a wonderful verse that is used to confirm a doctrine. But that's not what that verse is about. We have a natural bias. We've got to be on guard that we don't begin to shade the word and begin to pound square pegs into round holes to make ourselves right. We must simply follow the truth wherever the truth leads us. Most of us started out as six-day creationists because you read the first chapter of Genesis and you get 6 days and good to go. And then you start studying the rest of the Bible and you start tripping and skipping and falling and you're going, what? And as if you haven't had enough trouble, God sticks dinosaur bones all over the place. And you know those wasn't around. Well, they came off the ark and Noah sacrificed them. That's a nice little theory. Big barbecue. Big roast. But you begin to study it and all of a sudden you realize there is an original creation and there's a recreation. And he tells Adam to go and replenish. Replenish? Did he just say replenish? I thought he just created them. What? What in the? What? And you begin to all of a sudden travel down the road of truth and things begin to explode on you.
And Psalm says renew the face of the earth.
And renew the face of the earth. But most of us came to that from a different point of view. Some of us still hold to that because we won't get in and study for truth. Yes.
One of the things that you listed there is harmony mm-hmm. of the scripture. And I know this is a little bit of a rabbit, but what helped me probably the most with that doctrine of creation is my understanding of the biblical teaching of God, who God is, which made Genesis 1-2 very difficult to plug into a six-day creation when God wouldn't have created that, because that's not who God is. And so the harmony of the script, it's more than when you do rightly dividing Bible analysis. Sometimes you go outside the lines. I want to study creation, but there's a lot of things that are involved with that first.
Yep, yep.
That you, what we say, filter through our understandings or whatnot. So it all harmonizes. And then once you see that, boy, did the pieces fall in so fast. And it was easy to accept and discover that truth.
Brother Crabtree.
Well, to me, a good example of this is Matthew 19, where it says that
man put away his life except for fornication. Now, a lot of people, including concordances, want to make that adultery.
Mm-hmm.
And wherever you find that, they want to put that all together. But when you study the Bible, every place fornication is used, it's premarital.
Mm-hmm.
Every place adultery is used is after marriage.
Yep.
And the Bible is consistent with that. And so what do? Do you take the definitions that are given, or do you take what the Bible establishes?
The Bible consistency.
I have to take what the Bible establishes. And the cause is fornication, not adultery.
Yeah.
Yep. And there's penalty and payment for fornication. There's death for adultery. Sister Rhonda. There's a boy, Brother Nate, one of his last comments there, how things quickly fall into place when you get onto the truth of a doctrine. And verses that you've seen before, just like we looked at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5, let's look back there. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. Yeah, start in verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Isn't that interesting? Everything is the same since creation. Then he says, because this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished, but the heavens and the earth, which are now... What? Did he just say the heavens were of old and the earth, but the earth that is now? Yeah, he said, they say everything's the same since the beginning of creation. That's huge. There's two different creations. Everything is the same since the beginning of creation. You're talking Genesis 1:1. And then 1:2 came, and everything got changed. The earth standing in the water and out of the water. Everything's different. All of a sudden you're on the truth, and it explodes. And those verses you went, oh, I thought it was talking about Noah's flood. Read it. It's not talking Noah's flood. You just got sidetracked because it said water.
The earth didn't perish in the flood.
The earth did not perish in the flood. That's why the dove had an olive branch in his mouth.
Nor did the heavens change in Noah.
Nor did the heavens change. You notice how things begin to explode when you're on rightly dividing. You're getting Bible analysis down. You're on truth. And all of a sudden, verses that you thought you knew take on a richer and deeper meaning. And how does all this happen? By the word of God. By the word of God. And Jesus is so identified with the word, he becomes synonymous with the word. He was in John chapter 1. And notice the very end of the story. Look at Revelation chapter 19. This is his triumphal return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, verse 16. But back up a couple of verses there. Yeah, look at verse 11. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he would judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Turns out from the beginning, this they're willingly or ignorant of, that by the Word of God the heavens were of old. To the very end, his name is the Word of God. And then John says, there wasn't anything made that was made without him. Colossians tells us, all things consist by him, by the Word of God. And yet we're being told that, well, Paul wrote it, he just didn't let Paul make a mistake. That's a far cry from he is the Word. And it comes from humanism and people not knowing what dictation is, Brother Nate.
That same, the Spirit through that same Paul said, I looked at my flesh and I saw no good thing. So what about us does God allow in his Word?
Exactly.
If it's not the Spirit of God in us, because in us is no good thing. So that whole rightly dividing in, accepting who I am, and it did, and that was a process for me too in the beginning, accepting who I am according to God, I also, this is before I even learned of the tabernacle, I realized, well, man can't have anything to do with this Word. It's spiritual, and there's nothing good in us.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've spent a lot of time laying this one foundation, because this one foundation rests every other doctrine in the Bible.
Yeah.
It's like when we do Bible studies with people, the first thing we need to establish is the Bible is the Word of God.
Yeah.
Because if you can't... I had to end up stopping a Bible study with a wonderful individual whose family was Pentecostal. He was raised Pentecostal. And I got down to... you accept the Bible as the Word of God? Yeah. Got down to all I know what my mama told me. And what mama told him, and I told him that showed him in the scriptures what Jesus said. And I said, you got Jesus saying this, and you got mama saying that. It was like a water boy moment. Mama says, and he said, I know what my mama told me. And I said, I got nowhere else to go with you. Said, what do you mean? You're rejecting the Word of God for what your mama says. You will not accept. So whatever I tell you from here on out, if it goes against mama's faith, you reject it. I got nothing to show you. I've got nothing to share with you. You reject it. When you want to know the truth, come back. He didn't. Mama said, he dearly loved his mama, but he has a huge problem. I'll end with this. Somebody told me that they seen a joke this week. Do you really have to have Jesus to go to heaven? The answer was, you got to have Jesus to go to Walmart. Let's stand after blessing on their foot. Brother Daniel, would you do that for us?
Father, Lord, I thank you for your kindness, love, and your mercy that you've given us this day, Lord, especially for Jesus Christ, the gift that you